Okay, well, let's call this meeting to order. Before we begin, I want you to note that I do not consent to any recording of this meeting, and I do not authorize anyone to record this meeting, and I not to consent to or authorize any recording. We don't have minutes. Sherry is, I indicated this morning to you, is been on a really limited schedule this summer because of her grandson. She'll be back, and I think we'll have another relatively short meeting shortly, and we can get the minutes from the last time and the minutes from this time and approve them at the next meeting so that we're on track with that. First item is just some reminders and some updates about the things that are going on. Excuse me. Good pizza. I sent this out before. We're heading in a direction in assessment where we will be needing to not only demonstrate clear student learning outcomes and objectives in our courses, but how we tie assessment to them. And we're probably going to end up in a place where we're doing curriculum mapping. Pat's actually done a lot of that. I think he's just doing it as a habit the way he does courses. And so I think we have a pretty decent guide to that when we get to that point. So we talk about things like having comprehensive components in our classes at the end that ties the class together, or commendation statements, learning objectives, and so on. Those are coming from those directions. And comprehensive components can be a number of things. I've done comprehensive final exams. I've done projects that tie all the pieces of the course together at the end. Research designs is a way to comprehensively assess a research design course, things like that. There's multiple ways to do that. Just be sure that's the case. The only two I can think of that are problematic that way are the internship, and they have a sort of a thing at the end, but it's not really comprehensive, and the seminar course, which is by design not that way. So there's only two courses I can think of where that would be difficult to do. Maybe there's some other one I'm not aware of, but I'd like to announce that Tom is going to be our FI coordinator probably for the year, I would guess, taking over as best we can since the departure of Diana and Eric both, and I think we're pretty darn lucky that we have him in that position. Department bylaws say we should have an advisory board, and that appears to have lapsed. I've asked Joe to look at pulling together a list of people that could serve as an advisory board. As you know, at Homecoming, he has been organizing a panel for people out of our alumni who have come back. Last year, I believe there's five of them. And I asked him to try to see if he could put together a list of potential people for an advisory board by that time so that we might be able to have that initiated. I've been involved with advisory boards in other departments, and typically there'd be a meeting somewhere around homecoming time, simply because once you get past that, the weather gets iffy, and then if there's a second, it's typically April, past the bad weather time again. So we'll see what Joe's able to come up with by that. Does anyone else have any other announcements, just to give an opportunity here for any other things before we run out of time or something? Okay. Second item, Rockford update. It's been an interesting thing. Valerie, Pat, Dana, and I went down to Rockford on Tuesday to kick off the first ever course in the Rockford School District and Jefferson High School that is dual enrollment, where they'll earn high school credit as well as advanced standing here. We are not only the talk of Jefferson High School, but discovered that they changed the entire scheduling around to accommodate our one course, which if I'd known, I'd ask for more. Couldn't believe that, and still they're very friendly and accepting of it. You'd think there'd be a lot of teachers who'd be pretty upset about that, but Eric Bruno, who's a sergeant with the Rockford Police Department, has been so for 20 plus years, and he served in a number of capacities there, is teaching that course for us. It was pretty exciting for a while because Pat and I had gone down and interviewed a gentleman down there at the end of June to do this work for us, and he was well qualified. We were well satisfied with it, but at that point we were going to have him working literally for the Rockford School District and not for UW-Platteville. He would have been vetted by us and still validated. They'd have just paid him, and it would have solved some administrative issues that we have to deal with. Well, 2.5 weeks before the semester started, he grew fed up with the demands the Rockford School District was placing on him to validate him as a teacher, and he sent me an email 7:30 in the morning and said, I quit. So here we are 2.5 weeks before the semester starts, and there went my vacation. So we were able to come up with Eric, who previously indicated interest, but had been unable to secure official permission to do it. And Eric is as good or better as what the other gentleman was, and is excited. He actually admitted to me he would have done it for nothing. And I said, shoot, I wish I'd known that. He's teaching every day, and the course is an alternating sequence where one section meets one day, one meets the next, and keeps going like this. And the interesting thing that they came up with about this, I'm not sure, was it your idea or whose it was, but at the time, we had still been, when we first came up with this, we'd been talking about the 700-hour academy and how future students are going to have higher physical education requirements for that and physical fitness requirements. And so the alternate day is a FIED course, and it's one that we're going to use to try to get them to some certain fitness levels as part of that course. And what's the saying when you become a...
When you choose a career in law enforcement, you give up your right to be unfit. So we broaden that to criminal justice. We need one for criminal justice. Like, choose a career in criminal justice, you give up your right to not care, or something like that.
Some kind of,
yeah,
some sort of thing, yeah.
But it's a Fitness 5.0 program was the idea for these kids on those alternate days, so that they learn good habits and stay fit throughout their life.
We're all making this up as we go. It's really interesting because we keep thinking we've got a handle on it, and we find some other piece we hadn't considered. Partway through, somebody out of the blue was conferences with parents. They're like, oh, geez, we don't ever do conferences, so we're thinking about whether we have to do that or not. And then in a moment of clarity, I actually sat down and mapped out the alternating classes because we were doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, then reversed and discovered that because of days off, one section would have 18 days, the other would have 22 class days. Oh, geez, so we're fixing that. There have been a few other exciting things, but it's going. They seem to be doing very well. Tuesday, I'm trying to kick it all off. The students are prototypical juniors who won't indicate they care about anything for fear of looking like they care about something. I even tried the old, you know, in Platteville, they have this saying, it's a great day to be a pioneer, followed by every day is a great day to be a pioneer, and so through the Jefferson Jayhawks. And so I said, it's a great day to be a Jayhawk. Dead silence.
Yeah, nothing.
So I said, come on, it's a great day to be a Jayhawk. A tool of the answer, you know, so it's like, all right, we're going to start low and head our way on up. Okay, so we're going to get them some shirts. I've got a source of funding from Agenda Cost to do that. We're going to get them shirts and try to get them on the same page, and we brought them some lanyards and backpacks, and so it seems to be going. We'll come back to that in a minute when we get down to number 5, because ultimately that's partly related to some of that. Going reasonably well, and hoping next year we can continue this on. At the end of the senior year, some of the students will be eligible if they've had enough success grade-wise to come here with 8 credits of advanced standing, which will improve not only our diversity because it's a very diverse student population, but it's a feeder for us. And increasingly that's a concern of administration. If you went to the convocation yesterday, you heard some of that kind of veiled concern about maintaining that. Third item, faculty development. As of last year, everybody has a $500 balance of faculty development funds they may use for faculty development, which could be anything from going to conferences, or if you have specific software you need to do your job as part of your professional development, then get that. The Valerie was asking about a software package to check student papers against, or maybe it was Amy who was asking. What's it called?
Turnitin.
To me, that's not professional development. That's something else we pay for out of something else. Not, you know, if we need that, that's a teaching aid. That's different than going to a conference or buying some resource that's professionally important to you or whatever it might be. Okay. no academic apparel, no lunch at Culver's, no professional memberships, but if you're going someplace, say to a conference, and $500 is not enough, talk to me. And we've got some other sources. So $500 is kind of an arbitrary number that I stole from social sciences. But sometimes if you go to, I'm not funding any trips to Egypt. No conferences in Hawaii, but I get one every year that tries to get me to go there, and I just won't go. But you know the deal.
Do you want to? So, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My apologies. Do you want a written request so there's a record of the use of this?
I asked Sherry just to log them, and let's use her judgment
so
here.
Give her verbal approval of it.
I'm not even so sure that I want to do that. I mean, if it's for your professional development, use it. If it gets beyond $500, then I'll have to have some reason to do it. But just think about it. Professional development is improving your ability to do your job. And however, going to a conference, buying some resources that are necessary to do that, whatever it might be. I'd encourage everybody to go to some conference someplace just to get out of the house and go someplace else and see how people think differently. It always energizes me. I always come away with some different view of the world. And that's worth it in itself, I think. And $500, so if you're going to Chicago, you might get there and you might get registration or you might not. Some of these places, you go to Green Bay, you might get it at $500. Go to Chicago, I don't know that would be possible. I think you've got something going on in Chicago. There's just no way to do it at $500 because mm-hmm. it's Chicago and they charge an arm and a leg and another leg and they look for additional limbs. So. So whatever, there's some funding there, and in fact the funding circumstances are not bad. we'll deal with that here in just a second too in the other part. We do have the capacity again to do work study students. Last year I brought that up as a possibility. It's always a catchy, sketchy sort of thing because you may end up spending more time telling someone to do something than if you just did it yourself. But Deb had Katrina Gauker last year who helped tune up some PowerPoints and did some research and pulled some things together for her. And you can give them clear direction if they're good students, get out of their way, and you can gain something from that, get some time back. And even if we're just a few hours a week, it's worth doing. And Katrina will be back this fall, and so we'll have other students possibly to do that. So, this is a busy department. Let's use every resource we can to free up some time. We also have, for the first time ever,
a graduate assistant.
Woo-hoo!
Ron Jacobus. I think everybody knows him. He was an undergrad, and then he was he was on campus a lot. Ron, I'm sure you've seen him. So he'll be here for a year. He'll be part of the master's program. So if you have anything related to graduate work or alumni kind of things, let me know, because I have to keep a list of his, quote, research projects. So if you have something you're working on, let me know, and I'll sign him to you for a couple hours.
Can I just make a suggestion that CJA students are going to have to be doing a lot of research on this case for the HCSR?
Well, that could help, so we can
and
do
he
we
could really kind of maybe take lead on that. And
I don't know if take a lead, but he could help.
Well, he's a grad student.
Yeah.
So, something to think about.
You guys going to do this fall in October for October? Okay.
And it's early, so there's some urgency here. Where
okay, I'm sure.
You're really
going to
need somebody to kind of work during September.
Well, he's going to be here on Tuesday. So he'll be here Tuesday, so maybe we'll hook up with him. That'll be the first kind of, because it's going to be, October is going to be doing it, right?
October.
I'm sure he'd be very happy to do that. And then a couple people, we'll definitely, we'll hook up with them on Tuesday one.
I just want to throw it out there.
We're still trying to find an office for them, but we may stay in my office for a little bit, maybe Sabina's, maybe the association, I don't know, we'll throw them off the laptop.
Put a thing there about
office
space.
Ron Jacobus, J-A-G-J-C-O-B-U-S.
I've had Ron in class, he's sharp.
Yeah. When you see him, you recognize him.
He
worked at the desk a while for semester.
Yes.
I think he was a student helper up at the...
And I should note one thing, as long as I forgot to put this on here because I still don't have answers to it, but I'm trying to find us a second office here so we can have space for adjuncts. It's been exciting. This is the thing. Tom has taken over some of what Diana's doing. He's been spending time in the lab looking at fibers or something. I know what he's doing in there. Anyway, but we have a lot of other people doing that kind of thing as well, taking over for some of this. Kevin Arena is doing 8 credits of teaching for us. Michael Schlicht is doing 7 credits plus a lab. Those two guys together are more than a full-time position, well more than a full-time position. You should have one office just for those two guys to share at minimum. And all we have is the old CJA office. And I've asked, begged, pleaded, I'm hauling in every favor I got to see if we can't move Kaylin to a different place because she's doing online advising. They did that from Cleveland, for goodness sake. She wouldn't have to do it here. And as with some battles, you don't win all of them, and it's still ongoing. And I'm hoping we get a second office so that we can do something. This may be a place for Ron to hang out where he could have secure storage if he's working on something for you. We just don't have it yet. So. When you have 1 out of 8 students walking around this campus wearing our label, I don't know why this is this hard.
What are the chances of getting the 2 offices back that used to be ours?
The what?
I mean, yeah. Well, I think like business took them, but you know, we're growing just as much. I feel like, you know, how's that fair?
I'm making the arguments.
Originally assigned to us.
Ask Tom. I'm sure Tom has made them before.
Ever since 2009, we fought that battle. I mean, they wanted the rooms every spring day.
Because Amy, you see,
but they have one for just testing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I fought hard, and at that time, you know, the provost sided with business, not us. Said, well, they have more people than you do, and you don't need as many offices because you don't have as many people. I said, yes, but we will.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know. So I'll just maybe get some of these FEMA trailers put out back or something.
I might use that argument just to see what pops out of it.
But I mean, everyone wants. We lost every fight we had. We lost it on that, trying to keep those rooms.
All you got to do is put up an ugly green army tent right out back here.
Well, FEMA trailer, that was
front of houses and heads.
So I've been working with Pete Davis on this, and he said, I don't have good news for you. He says, however, we're not done. And he's hoping that maybe by the second week of the semester we might have some better news or something. It's just that I'm just a hugely firm believer that we need to be together. When we're doing face-to-face stuff, and everybody here is, we need to be together so when the students come in here, they see all of us, they can find us. They're not searching all over, God knows where on campus to find us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the experience, and there's no reason why our students deserve any less. I was going to bring it, and I forgot to do it. When they read off the strategic plan yesterday at convocation, did you hear the first discipline mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
It's us. I'm going to try to use that because they either believe that or they don't. And so, as it should be. So, number 5 is kind of a catch-all sort of thing here because it all strings back into each other a little bit. It's like a ball of yarn kind of thing. Only 2 schools were up on admissions this year, Madison, which doesn't count, and us. Green Bay is down 15% in admissions. I believe Superior is similar.
Yes.
Other schools are hurting as well. Everybody is hurting except us. Everybody's jealous of us. And that's TSI primarily. And the chancellor yesterday indicated we're still forging ahead with that, and that's part of what Rockford factors into, is obviously their TSI students, they pay more, we make more money off of them as a university.
And DLC stuff.
He has said, how high are we going to go? You know, we're at 7,800 students now, more or less, 8,509. Nobody knows because there are things you can't control, but it's clear there's still some interest and intent that we're going to go a little bit further yet. And how much we should be part of that, you know, I don't know, just that maintaining our enrollment stream at the very least is important, and so Rockford figures into that kind of thing. They have asked us, and this comes literally from the chancellor's mouth, to once we get this thing working, and we've made 89 mistakes, and there's probably 64 more to go here with this thing, but once we get Rockford settled, and we're pretty sure we know how to do it, Quad Cities and Des Moines. He wants us to push it out into the states because right now, doing the Rockford's 2 hours from here, it's what, 10 minutes south of Wisconsin. Yeah. It's not very far into either state.
Yeah.
He's from Des Moines. That's the first one he mentioned. I'm not a dummy. I know where we're going next. We're going to try Des Moines and see if we can't start to forge some connections there and see how this works. Now, this relates into finances as well. Just doing this is a giant pain in the neck. You have no idea how many hours I have in this. I was counting on my hard drive how many iterations of contracts I have there as we went through, and I sent them one and they sent one back and we revised one back. I got 19 of them. It's just an awful number. It's been crazy. And I don't want to do it where we didn't get anything out of it. We're going to get diversity. We're going to get students. I also wanted us to get some money. And the way this contract figures, we'll probably get, depending on what the final figures are, between $6,000 and $10,000 of funding directly to us this year from this. And that number will continue and even grow a little bit, assuming we continue to follow the same model and teach the same courses as we go along here. The idea being that if we expand into other places, you can see this as being part of one of those four major issues that they talked about with the university, which is controlling our destiny. And I know that nobody got into this business because they thought it was going to be great fun to spend time making money. We got into this business because we like seeing the light bulb go on. We like teaching. We like that sort of thing. Nobody get into this for the finances. But the reality of today is the legislature doesn't like us, they won't fund us, and they're not giving us any more money. So we either are going to have to eat what we catch or go hungry. And so we're out fishing as hard as we can. And we, in fact, are in far better shape than almost any other department on campus when it comes to that. We have ways to make money. And when that money comes back in, then the question is, what do we do with it? If we're just making money and let it sit in a pot, it doesn't do any good. So the intent that I have, and how this plays out next year, you all know, you had a meeting earlier. I know it went on. Regardless, whoever would be the chair next year, we'd want to have resources, we'd want to have options, we'd want to be able to pivot and go in multiple directions, and that's what we want to be able to come out of this with, is that ability to have resources to do things. My sense always was it'd be nice to have enough money we could buy off time. You can buy off a quarter time and have you go do some research or some other special activity or something you wanted to do that you can't do right now. And you start thinking about this, you know, $8,000 buys at least two adjuncts to teach classes and leaves a little money left over. And you could do it again and again and again, or you could develop a whole new position, or there's any number of things you could do with it. It's just a lot.
Is that straight back to the department, or does that go to the dean?
Well, right now, there were two versions of this that I did, and it depended on whether they paid the person directly or not. If we pay them, and in fact he's our employee, there's a 40% indirect cost that's added onto it. Of that 40%, 20% goes to Kathy Riedel Ferry. God knows what she does with it. I guess she turns the lights on with it or something. And the other 20% goes to the dean, and the dean says, right to CJ.
So for now, it's ours.
It is. And theoretically, it could go away. But what she's really trying to do is incent us to go out and be creative and entrepreneurial in a broad sense. And you can't predict the future. Who knows what's going to happen to where maybe there's some fiscal disaster and things change, but if that happens, they change. And in the meantime, we should take advantage of what we have available to us. So the other version of it was if they paid for this person out of their funding, it cut the contract almost in half after the indirects. And I said, well, we're not making enough money, so I put a $6,000 number in there for supervision or some, I made up something that basically said we need to have something to recover the time we're putting in to do this. So even under their version of it, we're getting that much money, plus we would have still got some indirects on it. So and that number should rise a little bit next year, and by then we could take off to other places and present them a model. I asked Dana to go with me because I had in the back of my mind this idea that what we really have here is increasingly a model of remote instruction, broadly defined, which is not only the online stuff, undergraduate and graduate. We've talked about this stitching together sections from remote schools, you know, seven kids in Mineral Point, nine in River Valley, whatever, and bring them together electronically in some sort of, there's a word for it, I'm drawing a blank on the word, but remote instruction, where you can create a whole section out of kids remotely from schools that could never afford to do this individually. That's remote. We're having people teach in remote locations. Well, and so maybe we need a director of remote instruction, which is an awful acronym, but I thought we could use GRUMP as well. I thought, well, you know, that's sort of thing where I think kind of what Dane is doing a little bit, you end up with maybe we need somebody at some point to start thinking about how we manage a broader reach as we draw students in. And if you think about it too, There isn't anybody here that's hoping for poorly prepared students. We'd like to have great ones. We start creating enough demand, maybe we have the ability at that point to start upping the standards a little bit. Maybe we can do some things that would allow us some options we don't have now. So, related to that as well, they talked an awful lot about retention yesterday, and I've asked Amy to work with me and with the CJA to think about some retention issues with our existing students, not only the incoming ones, but others. I'm a first-generation college student. How many people in here are first-gens? Those who are know what it's like to go home the first time at Thanksgiving, and you're sitting around the dinner table, and people are saying ridiculous stuff, and you go, oh my God, something's different. And you realize that all of a sudden your support network is a little different than what it was. And an awful lot of our students incoming are first-gens, meaning our students, CJ students, are first-gens. We know that if they have better, more exciting social experiences and more involved experiences when they come in here as freshmen, they're more likely to come back. And so we want to see what we can do with that. And Amy wamped up a little survey for us this summer that Deb and Tom distributed at registration to find out what students were interested in doing, so we can see if we can create some programs to get them involved. And you never get 100%, but you know, if you get 60%, that's not bad. And anything we do will work. And as they said at the one of the presentations yesterday, it's a whole lot cheaper to keep someone than it is to go get another one. And so we're going to see what we can do with that. And certainly for Amy's experience with the first year of being here, a logical person to do that. Related to this too, and a number of us have had these sort of oblique conversations about this, and it's time maybe we think about it maybe more formally. Is this kind of started with Joe and I after having been at graduation, and you see people wearing these emblems at graduation that symbolize Honor Society or whatever, kind of the thought was, well, what about CJ Association or something? And it turns out that unless it's an Honor Society or something, you can't actually do it. Apparently there's some rule. But we started wondering if there was some way for us to honor students for being professional and engaging in professional activities, and that kind of morphed into a sense of, well, you know, we do these presentations and a lot of times students don't show up to them. Well, what can we do to encourage them to do that or to participate in the CJ Association or to help with Career Day or the Horrific Crime Scene House and or any of these kinds of things that we'd all consider to be professionalizing activities. And we haven't figured this out in the sense of, you didn't have even a proposal, but I can just remember being a Boy Scout and having merit badges and wishing I had more. And if there was some way you could symbolize to students, those who were involved and not, we might give them an incentive to be more involved. Huh?
Cheryl started that honor system.
But by the end of the year, it's still actually going.
Okay. Well, maybe we could restart it reconfigure
it.
Is there a National Honor Society for Criminal Justice Majors?
No idea. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know.
But by any means, International for Social Sciences, too.
Okay. Because, you know, if there was or something that Criminal Justice Majors could work under, then the National Honor Society should be able to provide the authority that the commencement people would want to see.
Mm-hmm. And having that thing at commencement is cool for the kids and the parents, and kind of morphed it into something in additional, which is, can we have something that the freshmen coming in can see our more experienced students having achieved, and say, boy, I'd really like to do that, and actually get them to say, you know, I really should go to that panel of people at homecoming and listen to what they have to say. And we were thinking a point system of, you know, if you attended X number of things or did X number of activities, you'd get some sort of recognition at the end of the year, pin to wear award. I don't know what kids want to have, you know, beret, I don't know what. But even in Amy and Alicia Gillingham and I are meeting this afternoon. Is that your stomach? Our meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon to talk about the possibility of CJ students in the CJA mentoring incoming freshmen, which would be the sort of thing you'd say, well, I mentored somebody, that's where the point or two, or, you know, I don't know what the point system should be, but we say, look, we're giving back. If they went and did community service, they get some credit for it, something where there's an acknowledgement of people doing what we would consider to be normal professional activity. And I don't know where it'll go, but Joe and I have talked about it. Some of the rest of us have had conversations. Pat's been dealing with somebody looking at ideas of logos and things. So maybe come up with a committee, maybe of three people or four people or whomever's interested for that matter, to kind of maybe look at how we might pursue this.
You know, the CGA already has a mentoring program.
They do?
Yes, they do.
You sure was not familiar with that? Okay, cool.
They have one in place.
Well, they certainly don't have a lot of people, and that's always struck me as odd. We have, close to 900 majors, give or take, and there's 80 in CJA, and you're like, there's a disconnect there somehow.
Actually, that's pretty good.
No, it's between 70 and 80 every semester.
I guess
how many do you get at the meetings, Ron, 12? They're a big, pretty big group.
I would say every other time they'll fill it, which is 50 seats, and then the other half of the time they have maybe 35.
Well, that's still pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Every time they might have about that amount. It wasn't like huge all the time. It's quite as busy.
Right, so if you have like between 70 and 80 members at halftime, you got 50 showing up, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so, proportion of the total, it's actually a really good showing. Mm-hmm.
And there are sometimes when they actually have people standing in the back, and the kid, you know, you don't have enough chairs, so it's over 50 of them. But that's not too often.
Well, we can do something to just, you know, you increase by 10 or 15 or 20% the number of students doing this, your retention rate goes up, and we maintain better numbers. And that's the name of the game today. It's just what it is. And we can influence that. So if anybody's interested in working on that, let me know. We'll maybe put together an ad hoc committee and come up with some ideas here that we could do. And as I say, Amy and Alicia and I are going to meet a little bit this afternoon.
Are you talking about the mentoring program, or are you talking about the retention?
All of it.
Okay.
All of it. Because I had just mentioned to her about the idea of using CJA students as mentors as a possibility. I mean, we're still just talking about this, seeing what can and can't work.
If you want to talk about mentoring, then Alicia Gilling would be the person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of using CJA.
What did I say?
Mentoring.
Yeah, Alicia.
They have a program already.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure she's familiar with it, though, because she expressed some surprise. Oh, that'd be neat if we did that.
You know, Alicia did?
Yeah. So.
Well, Danny Whipperford, who was president last year, had it going.
Okay.
The only concern I had is you got to be real careful in those situations where you have an upperclassman supervising a freshman or something like that.
Well, it may or may not work. I mean, especially, and there are concerns. Mm-hmm. Agreed. So, so if you're interested in playing around with that, it'd be kind of neat. Where I could imagine at the end that we have a dinner or something where we honor those students who, during the course of time, they've been in the CJA, they've been an officer, helped with the career day, helped with crime scene house, did mentoring, attended 20 different professional presentations during the course of their time here, whatever things we would consider to be professionalizing activities, and give them some recognition for doing that, which then sends the message back down to the younger students, aha, maybe we should be doing this too. So I keep hearing how many students don't go to career day. And I'm left with this sense of somewhere we're missing a message in there. And not sure what it is.
Colleen has voted to have the portfolio requirement for all graduates. I know Amy worked really hard on that. And there's a lot of, the attendance and all that stuff. I mean, so that's already in place. And if they'll have that, if they could modify it for the honors or whatever, because then that's part of that portfolio. If they had to do these, they had to go to these different meetings and lectures and conferences and so forth and so on. No, so that part of it is already in existence.
Also, there's a list.
Yeah.
That's better than making one.
Yeah.
I mean, thought of conferences, but I mean, we were just thinking, but conferences are made more beautiful.
The problems with after a speaker would speak, they'd be mobbed by people who had to fill out these forms, and they had to sign these forms. And sometimes it would take, 20, 30 minutes after the meeting while he was still signing the form.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
That's one thing.
They were requiring for graduation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think the format's in place. So
yeah. And we still encourage that. Yeah. It's really
good. Yeah. That's a good resource to share with. But somebody had mentioned the signing somewhere along the line, and I'm wondering if we couldn't get a machine that people would swipe their cards through.
Where
basically if you come and see a speaker, you swipe your card through the beginning, swipe through the end, and I'll get a record that you were there.
Yeah.
And might save some of that, because I know the paperwork is just a nightmare when you try to keep track of it.
Yeah.
People
wouldn't have
one.
Yeah.
Reminder about FERPA, don't tell anybody students' grades. I think you all know that. We've run into issues now with even in terms of returning students' materials. no student should theoretically be able to learn any other student's grade, with the exception that I know of if a student says to me, will you allow such and so to pick up my paper for me? Okay, well, that's with their permission. And occasionally that happens, but I've had a lot of times in my career, can I pick up such and so's paper? So I can't let you do that. It's a violation. So, and I'm sure everybody in here, or most of us, have had that call from the parents. Damn it, I pay their tuition. You will talk to me.
Sorry.
Yeah, just do that. Your kid give you their money and you can see they're great.
Yeah.
So. You can add guests.
I'm sorry?
You can add guests now, right?
Yeah, I think you can now add it. Yeah.
You can
actually add their name in.
Yeah, you can give them guest access, basically, to get in there and see what they want you to see.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's what they need to do. I had a parent call me this summer saying that their son or daughter had given them their logon ID so they could look. And I said, uh-oh, that's a violation of the agreement with OIT. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to give your password or not to anybody. And I said, first, don't tell anybody when you call up, but the guest thing is what they need to know, because that will allow access.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to give their password to anybody. I said, for God's sake, don't call them up and say you've got it, because that'll get your son in trouble that way. So it wasn't a good thing. So. Number seven, as we know, much to our unhappiness, Ed is going to retire at the end of the semester. Administratively, what we're going to do is this, is Deb Rice is going to be administratively put into her position, and she can't replace him. No one can replace him.
Yeah, thanks.
But take over his teaching loads, and then we will need to find someone to replace Deb, who also can't be replaced. So, however, as I've been here for a year and watched the workflow and what we have and all the students running around and all the things we have and all the time years that we have, I talked to the dean. I said, you know, we really should make that position full-time and make it a position that does a number of things in addition to what Deb does, as well as what she already does. Because right now she's a half-time advisor year-round and then gets credit for teaching during the school year, but then she's half-time off in the summer, and I want to make it a full-time, full-year position.
Even though she's here.
What's that?
Even though she's here.
What?
During the summer.
Yeah.
Full-time.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
this summer
I'd have that position be responsible for things like not only the advising and visits and things during the year that she's doing, writing proficiency, campus internships,
campus
visits, registration in the summer, some retention things. We're going to try to start an LLC next year, Living Learning Community, and part of that requires a certain amount of administrative support from someone and have the person involved with that as well. So there's a whole laundry list of additional duties to do there, and there's funding to be able to do that. And at least in theory, that should pull a little bit off everybody else here and provide us a little bit more resources for doing that.
Is that just for the spring semester?
No. Until she either screws up or retires.
So the tenure track edge position's gone?
No, it isn't.
You still have three, though.
There's still the three, plus the chairs.
According to the meeting today, I got the impression that the chair was one of the four.
Yeah, that's it. So we've got three and then four. Yeah, three positions and then four. Kind of two forensic, kind of law enforcement, and then the chair. So that's four different positions.
Yeah, it doesn't cost the tenure line any more than it does right now. Because otherwise we would have to lose that position entirely to do that. And it doesn't, so. Supposedly it's the old Van Buren position, is that right?
CJ, yes. CJ03 was the line number, and he was, when David went upstairs, in 2000?
Yeah.
2001. Roy just kept, he always just filled in, and usually just say backfill for Van Buren until they retired. And then the decision was made was because he's already in the position that there's no need to have a search until he retires.
You know, my understanding
is that's
going to retain. You know, I'm gonna double check it since you've raised the question just to be double sure. But my understanding was that it wouldn't have changed any of that. But I'm gonna double check it just to be sure.
Well, Dean Troop said she was also gonna double check it.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be like a quadruple check.
Yeah.
if you square a double. So they could
double check square, right?
Curriculum committee, we need a five-member committee, and that the bylaws say it has to be chosen by the faculty. I'd like to ask for nominations, who'd like to serve on that. If we get more than five, we'll have an election. Oh, we get five. And what I'd really like to have that do is we had two people come in last year and take a look at our department, Alan Alt and Stan Stojkovic. And they made certain recommendations, some of which I think were reasonable ones, other ones I wasn't necessarily completely in agreement with. But that was the whole point of having people from the outside come in and look at it with fresh eyes. And I'd like the curriculum committee to look at some of the recommendations they made as far as curriculum. Do we want to change any of the way we do things? I'll tell you my inclination about one thing. I think Stan was pretty adamant about suggesting either reducing or eliminating the FI program or really limiting it, and that's one of the things I don't agree with, which is I really think that maybe there are issues there and we can strengthen it, but the whole idea of just throwing it out didn't strike me as the optimal solution. And we've had conversations with a number of people here, and I won't call them out just to embarrass them or whatever, but talking about things like, right now we require them to take two biology and two chemistry, but we don't specify which ones. And therefore they could take any old thing, and it...
Botany.
No, if we want to take botany...
Botany helps.
Botany would be good, yeah.
But...
Plants, yeah.
Well, then we should, if that's the case, we should require them to do that. We do some kind of weird little general diversity of life thing, then it's so unspecific that you're not clear. And then I think Alan brought up the idea of a physics course, and he was telling me about one class he was in. He says, geez, you're doing ballistics, you're doing blood spatter analysis. He says, shouldn't you all like be taking a physics class? And Alan went, I guess. But we should look at this again and make sure that what we have is meeting our needs. And it's been a while since that program was developed. And I mean, other things that Stan said, like, well, there have been no new courses. Well, I think FI was new. And
you
so it wasn't...
You know, that claim was wrong. We've had three or four new courses since that statement was made.
So
he's on 19.9. That was Alan said that one, right?
Yeah.
And that was totally...
Yeah, well, the FI curriculum in itself was not
in
there. So, I mean, some of this you take with a grain of salt. Some of it you say, you know, that might be true. That might be a point there. And let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, but let's not overly be concerned about what some of it says, because I think every one of us is going to look at that report and at least find something in it. Do we say, I don't know, I agree with that. So let's see what we can do.
You were the chairman.
Yeah, I was the chairman. I was going to say, I nominate Lauren Gibson because of all the work he did on it since I've been on the committee. He did a tremendous amount in terms of inventorying what courses we have already, what's required in those courses. It's not complete yet, but he's gone a long way towards putting it all together so far, so there'd be a base from which to begin additional discussion and comments and work.
Why don't you and everyone else forward nominations? If we get just five, we'll assume that that's the committee. Is that all right? If we get more than five, we'll have a paper ballot election. Okay. So, and I'd really like to have that committee kind of, let's look at those strategic, look at those reports, and, you know, there's some things in there that I think we probably should be looking at. And
do you want us to just email you then?
Sure. Other committee assignments, just so you know, I've asked Rex to be the budget committee representative for LANE, and you may have heard at one of the meetings that they actually have some money. They're going to try to come up with a plan to distribute some to faculty lines. And so, whereas last year you got the perfect committee assignment, which was you got to put it on your resume and never met. It's the perfect committee. I love those. The second best are committees you're on that meet at the same time. You get credit for two, but you only have to go to one. Sabina as the curriculum committee representative to LANE. Cheryl is the DRB chair as the DRB is selected. Amy as our library representative, and Valerie as the college diversity rep. So I forwarded that on to the dean. Thank you all for being willing to do that. And the last piece here is we have these positions to search for. We have three searches to do. a lot of ways that could be done, consulted with the dean at length about how to do this, and looked at what we had last year for searches and the people whose year were disrupted by that duty and those who didn't, and asked Pat if he would be willing to chair that committee, and he agreed that he would. And he and I together, as the bylaws say, constituted a committee composed also of Cheryl, Tom, and Valerie. Now, that doesn't mean everybody else doesn't get input and everything else. That's not how that's meant to be, just like last year wasn't meant to be. And the idea being that that committee is going to try to run these three together, because there may be overlap that we can use. If we get somebody of a peculiar set of backgrounds or experiences, you might look at it and say, boy, we never would have thought to search for that. But that person could do these courses, could fill this role, do whatever. And in so doing, probably reduce significantly the amount of pain and agony that we're all going to experience regardless of what we do. And in fact, we do need to, and Lauren pointed this out, we do need to have some kind of consensus about specifically what we're looking for. And I know there's at least a draft of what a position description might be. And I don't know necessarily that I would ask everybody to look at this now and agree on this right now, because I think that's unfair. But if we could have people take a look at that and then have a conversation if they feel the need to, if they have some suggestions or other things with this, and talk to Pat about this, and then we'll come back and get a revised description based on that and get the department to endorse it. We'll maybe have another short meeting to be able to do that. That's maybe be the more sufficient way to get that done. We're talking about how to do this, and then they're going to do the chair thing too simultaneously, which is its own special time suck for the department. I don't know if we can do this as quickly as we did last fall. If we really stay on task, we might be able to. And that means, having done a number of searches over the years, if we can get a clear indication of consensus, this is what we want, we can get this job description out in the Chronicle and everywhere else, bang, just like that. You used to have to wait 6 weeks for it to show up in print. Today, it shows up that day. And maybe if we could get that by the first week in September, maybe we have a closing date of October 15th, 20th, some number like that. Give the committee time to review the applications and go through a Skype process with the top number, whatever they choose. Typically, it's around 8, but you never want to say the number. You let the number be determined by what you get. Skype them, narrow that down, bring people in for some interviews, and see if we can't maybe get one or two of those done anyway before Christmas break. I don't know if you can do all three. That's, if you bring in enough people and you have to have them teach in front of a class, you might not be able to do that. But maybe one or two could be completed by then, which should make the spring a whole lot better. So waiting a long time to do stuff is generally in this business not a good thing to do. So if you pass around at least the beginning draft here, and have everybody go back with Pat as far as what your input on it is, if you have any, or ideas where we might look for people or how we might do it, please do that. I want to note one other thing, and that is that it's kind of a truism, we're not going to find people with PhDs in that. And
I'm going to find people with PhD what?
In that, whatever that is.
Oh.
And I kind of have mixed feelings about that, because I understand the difficulties in it, but we don't have to find 65 of them, we only have to find 3. And so we might get lucky.
You just got to remember the dean's not going to approve a, and what's going to be there for the forensic positions and law enforcement, but the dean will not approve, and she's told all chairs and everybody on the college council that no jobs, whether it be in education, criminal justice, they won't get a tenure track unless they got a PhD. But we can offer, you know, if you want to lose a tenure track, we can do an academic staff in one of those positions. But we don't have any control over the tenure track. It's got to be a PhD to get the tenure track.
And there may be another way. Pat and I were talking about this. Maybe we can find someone who's in the neighborhood close, and they're hired with the understanding they have to complete it before a certain point in time, or that's it. And so that's happened in the past, and there's precedent for doing that, whether the dean would agree or not, who knows. But, you know, I think that might be a possibility, where maybe you can find somebody who's partway through, they've got some experience, they're working on a PhD, they're not there yet, under a strict interpretation, you can't, but if they have one more year to go, maybe it's worth letting that happen. So I'm a little more optimistic that maybe we could do that. Tom had an interesting, I was talking to him about this, just folder sitting right on top of his desk, opens it right up like, you've been thinking about this, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you have, what, 2, 3, 4 schools that have degrees in something, but...
There's 4 universities in the United States that have a PhD. 3 of them have PhDs in chemistry with an emphasis in forensic science. Mm-hmm. John Jay has a PhD in criminal justice with an emphasis in forensic science. But it's University of Central Florida, Florida International, and West Virginia University have degree PhDs in chemistry with that in it. Yeah.
So
there are about 40 master's programs throughout the country that are in forensic science. Of those, about 20 are the FEPAC accredited. That's that. Yeah. The American Academy of Forensic Science organization that certifies or accredits schools. So about half of them are accredited by that organization.
Masters,
yeah.
Well, and it gives us wonderful places to at least throw a little hook out and see if we can catch anything.
Yeah.
So I'm a little more encouraged that it'd be nice to get some people with experience. You know, we need to find the balance, and we don't want to go too far in either direction. And I'd like to see some experience come back if we can do it. But that's all dependent on what we get. So so hopefully with those, I mean, that gives me hope right there. There's some hope. So.
You don't have a line item here for other
issues.
Are you open to that?
Why?
Sure.
I just want to ask, every semester they're campus students, right? And in the past, you've kind of given us advance notice of who's going to these campus visits to represent the department. Do we have the dates for those already?
I haven't received anything. I haven't received anything on it.
Okay.
That's a good question. There's like 6 of them Pioneer preview days or some, I forget what they call them. Yeah, don't know yet.
Okay.
They've got to be out.
Yeah, they must know what they are. I haven't received anything on it.
It should be on the calendar.
Well, they sent a list around them for the sign.
Right, but they haven't sent the list yet.
But they sent those dates, but they were getting on their office a couple months ago.
So they know, we just don't have
the full day. I think it's on the academic calendar, isn't it?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
I can show you how to get there on the web.
There's a guy can't even find the red switch.
Sorry, it's your friend. Yeah. That was a cheap shot.
You can't turn the computer off. It's
a plug. Pull the plug, for God's sake. It'll go on.
Where's the tab?
Yeah. Where's the
help? Are you sure you want to retire
Where's the help desk button?
Yeah, where's the help? I just called Patty. She came right down. That was very nice of her. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. So if we have nothing else, under Robert's rules, when you're out of stuff to say, you can just adjourn. You don't even have to call for a vote.
I second it.
I third.
Geez, thank you. I went right past that. That was the other thing, is I've asked Deb to head a search to replace her position. Thank you. I have it written right here, and I went, blew right past it. So I've asked Deb to do that, work up a job description, the same thing to do that. Thank you. Good Lord. It's right here. I just flew right past it.
Tom,
and she wants, she's asked to have Steve and Ed serve on that. So,
Tom, we've got that search or that description somewhere, don't we? Or
Dad, don't put me on that one, okay?
Put her on.
I don't want to be on.
Would you look these up, Sabina, and then write them down there? No, Sabina.
No, I'm not talking to you.
The catalog number?
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
Okay.
This will be... Put them in Sherry's box. And
okay. Yeah, because I looked at my pass, and I didn't have them listed. That's why I wanted them. But I know Sherry would find them.
You're under Haskell.
Haskell probably has it, right?
I try that.
Okay, I'll do that. And then after that, just put them in Sherry's box. Okay.
So you decided you can't.